Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning for our second lesson in the Proverbs study. Today we're doing clues into God's character. So when I was growing up, my mom used to say, "Don't split hairs." Yes, I was a hair splitter then, and sometimes I still split hairs. And I struggled a little with the title of this lesson, Clues into God's Character. I guess when I think of the word clue, it makes me think of Miss Scarlet in the library with the candlestick, or Colonel Mustard in the ballroom with a rope. And yes, it is true, our finite human mind are not able to fully understand our infinite God, who is so holy and so majestic and so incomprehensible to our human ways. But our God wants to be known. In the Genesis creation story, the Bible describes God creating humanity in His own image for an intimate fellowship with Him and with one another. God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis, we read that God established a direct, personal relationship with man that was broken by sin. The story in the Garden of Eden also describes for us how Satan deceived man. Satan, from the beginning of Scripture, maligns the character of God. Satan distorted God's word, which led man to doubt the character of God. God is not looking for just obedience or religious ritual. God's original intent is for a close relationship with His image bearers, us, which He desires to restore. He wants to be known by His image bearers, and He pursues this throughout Scripture. The biblical account of creation in Genesis provides the important foundation for us to understand who God is. And in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation describes a time of redemption for all of God's creation, when we, as followers of Christ, will once again dwell with God in a beautiful garden. But now we find ourselves in a time of waiting for the second coming of Christ. And in the waiting, God desires a relationship with us, but we have to do our part to get to know Him. So, what do we do? What is the character of God? And where do we go to find those answers to that question? So, before we dive in this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer. Gracious and loving God, thank You for the honor of sharing Your word and the promise, Lord, that we can know You as our Father. Please use our time together this morning to study who You are and help us draw near to where You are. Give us wisdom and insight as we seek to know You more. And Father, if there is a woman here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, I ask that You, Lord, will guide her, open her heart to see who Jesus is and how He desires to have that personal relationship with each of us. During our study this morning, through learning about Your attributes and Your characteristics, I would ask, Lord, that she would invite Jesus into a relationship and that she would get to know You, her Creator God. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. So, where do we begin to get to know God and His character? Well, let's consider that. What are some things that you might do if you knew there was a woman you wanted to get to know? Maybe you met someone recently. Maybe you met someone here today that you'd like to get to know better. What would you do? Well, you would probably meet for a coffee or maybe plan a play date with your children. You might find out where she lives and the activities that she enjoys. Maybe you would identify hobbies that you have in common or friends that you both know. You would spend time with her. You would talk with her. You would listen to her and be interested. I think that is some of the same steps that we could take when we want to get to know God and know His character. I think it's similar to what we do when we want to, when we meet a new person and we want to get to know her. So this morning, we're going to look at four ways that we can get to know God. They're not all of the ways, but just four that we can begin with. First, we can get to know Him by reading His Word, the Bible. Second, we can talk to Him in prayer. Third, we can observe His creation. And fourth, and so important, we could get to know God through the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. So let's unpack those ideas just a little bit more. The first one we talked about was we can get to know God by reading His Word. I guess this is one of the reasons I struggle with the clues to God's character, because did you realize that in the second book of His story, the Bible, God tells Moses who He is? God directly revealed some of His attributes to Moses. If you want to follow along with me in your Bible, I'm going to be reading from the ESV translation, Exodus 34, 6 through 7. In the story, the Israelites sinned by building and worshiping the golden calf while Moses was on Mount Sinai. When Moses saw what the people had done, he threw the tablets of the commandments and broke them. God had instructed Moses to cut a second set of tablets so that he could once again write His law for His people. Exodus 34, 6 through 7 reads, "The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" It is the first description of God's attribute, and it is one of the most referenced passages in the entire Bible. God's self-revelation to Moses is foundational for understanding His character. God's compassion, God's grace, God's patience, God's love, God's truth are all central to His dealing with humanity. Our description calls these attributes of God, and our lesson calls them the character of God. So, okay, I know I'm probably splitting hairs again, but let's talk about just a second the difference between an attribute and a characteristic. And I know I use the two words interchangeably myself, but let's look at how we're going to see them for our lesson today. When we think about attributes, they are God's inherent properties. They define who God is in His absolute being. For example, God is self-existent. He is the uncreated, independent source of His own being, needing nothing and no one for His existence. God is omnipotent. He has unlimited power. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. God is holy. He is set apart or sacred. They are not acquired attributes, but they are permanent, inseparable parts of His very existence, and they define who He fundamentally is. Characteristics, on the other hand, are revealed actions or descriptions. They reveal what God is like and how He interacts with His creation. Characteristics often represent how God reveals or expresses His divine attributes in His creation, and some examples of those are loving, compassionate, merciful, and gracious. And like I stated previously, the terms are often used interchangeably, and they're used to describe God's nature and character as it's revealed in His Word, our Scriptures. So from Exodus 34, 6 through 7, let's look at the key attributes God discloses about Himself. First, God identifies Himself as the Lord God. This is His personal, sacred name in the Old Testament. He is the self-existent, eternal God who reveals His character to Moses. He gives His name to Moses as Yahweh. The repetition of the Lord emphasizes His unchanging, His personal, and His covenant-keeping nature. Next, He tells us compassionate. He's merciful. He's deeply moved by suffering. He's gracious. He extends favor and kindness and slow to anger. Some of our translations use the word long-suffering. He is patient and delays judgment. He's abounding in loyal love or steadfast love or loving kindness, sometimes are used in translations. That Hebrew word used here is hesed. God is full of hesed. It means a deep, covenantal, enduring love. He's faithful, reliable, trustworthy, abounding in truth. He forgives iniquity, sin, rebellion. He pardons our transgression. He maintains love for thousands of generations. He extends His merciful love to many generations. And God is just. He upholds justice and brings consequences for sin. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. Each of these attributes are central to His dealing with us as His image bearers. Our memory verse for week one was Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Last week, Natalie shared with us that fear in this verse means a deep reverence. For those of you who might be a little nerdy like I am, it is Strong H3374. The word is Yirah. Yirah speaks of an attitude of awe-filled reverence, and that may include trembling before God's majesty that always presses toward a loving obedience. Fear your God is used over 300 times in Scripture. And if we look at the very next verse in Exodus 34:8, we learn Moses demonstrated the fear of the Lord. When Moses heard God describe Himself in those attributes, verse 34:8 tells us, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Moses didn't pause. He didn't hesitate. He bowed to the ground at once and worshiped God. Moses feared or showed deep reverence or awe for our infinite and creator God, for His character and for His attribute. He responded quickly and with Yirah, awe-filled reverence. In our lesson this week, the focus has been on the second part, the knowledge of who God is. And in order to develop the fear of the Lord, we must recognize God for who He is. The Hebrew word for knowledge is da'at. In Proverbs 9:10, it refers to an intimate, experiential, and relational understanding of the Holy One God. It's not just intellectual information. It signifies a profound, active acquaintance with God's character and God's holiness. Knowledge is a key word in Proverbs, found in 39 verses. When Moses heard from God, he had the right response. Bow down to the ground in worship. We must glimpse with our spirit the power, the might, the beauty, and the brilliance of the Lord God Almighty. Those who fear the Lord have a continual awareness of Him, a deep reverence for Him, a sincere commitment to obey Him. We must know God. God's attributes are frequently described as incommunicable and communicable. I know, 50 cent words. Incommunicable attributes are the attributes that are unique to God alone. None of these attributes are shared with His creation. Examples of incommunicable attributes are God's omnipotence, He's all-powerful, His omniscience, His all-knowing, His immutability, God is unchanging and self-existent. Life is inherent within Him. God needs nothing outside of Himself for existence. These are incommunicable attributes. They are not shared. Communicable attributes are, these are what I'm going to call characteristics, are the qualities He shares with creation. Some examples of communicable attributes or characteristics are love, mercy, grace, holiness, justice, and righteousness. The communicable attributes show God's character reflected in humanity. We are created in His image. We can be loving. We can be merciful. We can be holy. We can be righteous. We can be just. But we have these characteristics in finite and imperfect ways, while God has each one infinitely and perfectly. God is infinitely and perfectly loving, merciful, holy, just, and righteous, while we express these characteristics in flawed and imperfect ways. By spending time in His Word and reading His story, we will learn to become more and more like Him. So, while we're talking about studying God's Word, I want to encourage you to knit His Word in your heart by memorizing Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 tells us the Word of God is powerful, because it is literally God-breathed from the mind of the Holy Spirit. And when we fill our minds with His Word by memorizing Scripture, we have available to us the most powerful spiritual tool there is. God refers to His Word as a sword in Hebrews 4:12. It is the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians, and it is an offensive and defensive tool. We are so blessed to have a copy of the Word of God easily accessible. The early believers did not have that. The Word of God was read to them, and they memorized His Word. Like the psalmist in 119, we are to hide the Word in our heart so that we will not sin against God. Not only did the psalmist hear and read the Word, but he internalized it and laid it up in his mind and memory for the future. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." I can't emphasize enough how the study of God's Word, the Bible, is crucial to knowing God. So first, we get to know God by reading and memorizing His Word. Second, we can talk to Him in prayer. When you want to get to know somebody, you keep the conversation flowing. Prayer is the primary way of talking to God. To know God, we have to nurture our relationship with Him by spending time with Him in His Word and talking to Him. Give yourself a routine of intentional time spent with Him in Scripture and prayer. Talk to Him in prayer. Pray His Word to Him. Ask Him questions. Listen to Him. You can only trust someone you know, and you can only know someone you spend time with. Communicate your emotions and your desires with God and fellowship with God. Last semester in our study of Psalms, we learned that we can lament to God and that our lament is the filling sandwiched between gratitude. Share it with God and thank God for all the ways He blesses you, even in times of distress. Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 4:6-7. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. God wants us to talk with Him about everything. Well, how often should we pray? The biblical answer is, pray without ceasing. Talk with God all day long. There's really no special formula for how to pray in the Bible. Have a conversation with Him. If you want a structured idea for prayer, the word PRAY acronym is sometimes used by people who like to have a little structure, and it's actually based on the Lord's Prayer. It stands for P for praise, thanking God for who He is and what He has done, His characteristic, His attribute, repent, confessing sin and asking for forgiveness, A, ask, requesting help for your needs and for others, and Y, yield, surrender your will to God and listen to Him. We can pray under any and all circumstances. Prayer develops our relationship with God and demonstrates our trust and utter dependence on Him. First, we get to know God by reading and memorizing His Word. Second, we can talk to Him in prayer. A third way we can get to know God is by observing His creation. God's unseen attributes are clearly visible in His creation. The psalmist tells us that nature reflects His glory, His power, and His wisdom. There are many places in Scripture where we are told to look to creation to learn about God. In Job 12:7-9, we are told that the birds, the beasts, the earth itself, and the fish of the sea can all teach us about God, and that God made them all. And Job 12:10 says, "In God's hand is the life of every living thing." According to the Psalms, the heavens themselves declare God's glory and proclaim the work of His hand. And each passing day and night reveal knowledge of God. As the Creator of all things, God has intimate knowledge of His creation. That's you and me. And He has revealed Himself in His creation from the founding of the earth. Isaiah exhorts us to look to the heavens to see God's handiwork. The heavens' very existence is a proclamation of God's invisible attribute, His eternal power, His divine nature. The Bible draws a connection between God's creation and God's sovereign control. Since God created all things, He has authority over all things. Paul writes in Romans 1, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Go for a walk with God, or just sit in your yard with your coffee. Use your senses to get to know God. What are things you see that God created? What sounds do you hear that God created? What do you feel that God created? What do you smell that God created? What do you taste that God created? As a counselor, this is one of my favorite strategies for regulation of our nervous system. Name 5 things you see, 4 things you hear, 3 things you feel, 2 things you smell, and 1 thing you taste. Being in nature and seeing everything God has created is one way that God can speak to us. The beauty of nature helps many of us feel close to Him. First, we get to know God by reading and memorizing His Word. Second, we can talk to Him in prayer. And third, we can observe His creation. Fourth, and so important, we get to know God through the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. To know God, we have to know His Son, Jesus. Jesus was a perfect example for us of knowing who God is. In John 14:9, Jesus tells His disciple Philip, "Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father," explaining that Jesus is seeing God's divine nature revealed. As Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Him, with Jesus doing the Father's works and words. And in John 14:6, Jesus declares, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." We can't know the Father if we don't first know the Son. It begins with faith in Jesus Christ, who John 3:6-38 tells us was sent by God. Paul tells us the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. The word gospel is the message of forgiveness for sin through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It is God's rescue plan of redemption that God desires for those who will trust Him in His divine Son and in order to be reconciled to a just and a holy God. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-5, Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. In this passage, we see 3 essential elements of the gospel message. First, Jesus Christ died for our sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Second, 1 Peter 2:22 says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth." Jesus lived a sinless life and is the only one who could die as a substitution for a sinner like me. Third, the resurrection from the dead is the proof of the power of God. Only the God who created life can resurrect it after death. If you are a woman here today and you do not know the good news of Jesus' saving grace and the power, I invite you to study God's Word and invite Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of your life. Get to know God by getting to know His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we recap. What do we do? First, we get to know God by reading and memorizing His Word. Second, we can talk to Him in prayer, anytime, anywhere. Third, we can observe His creation. And fourth, and of most importance, we can get to know God through the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who perfectly embodies God's attribute. Studying these attributes helps people move from just knowing facts about God to knowing God personally, recognizing that He is a unified, perfect being where every attribute describes His whole being. The more deeply we dig into scriptures, the more we will uncover new and beautiful facets to the character of God. And the longer we spend time with Him and in His Word, the better we will know and understand His character. We will discover that God never changes. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful, always present, everywhere. He is perfect. He's three in one. We can spend a lifetime seeking after Him and still only scratch the surface of comprehending the depth of our Heavenly Father's character. May you draw near to where God is. Heavenly Father, we praise You, Lord, for Your attributes and Your character. We thank You, Lord, that You are holy and righteous and that we can trust You. Father, guide us with wisdom and knowledge to see You in every facet of our life and in all that You have created. Thank You, Lord, for this study and for the women who are eagerly seeking wisdom from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, our memory verse is Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. In our lesson next week, we are learning about the wise versus the foolish. May we all wholeheartedly continue to seek after Him. Thank you.